Morning to you tonight, or today, this morning, this night, yeah. Raise your hand if you've heard this, if you know this already, but Jesus really loves you. This morning that Jesus loves us, but it's a truth that we all need to know and need to be reminded. Preview. We're going to be talking about the fact that we are made to live. We are made to live. And looking at that, we're going to look into Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and flip on over to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 20 through 30. So covering a pretty large section of Scripture this morning. Philippians 1, chapter 20 through 30. So don't worry. God's got you. It's all good. But we're going to be going through this. And so if you would follow along with me as we read. It says, starting in verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. I want you to know that it's an amazing message today, that God made you to live. It's a simple thing. It's a simple thing. God made you to live. He crafted you, He created you, and He made you to have life. That life has its ups and its downs. That life can be crazy. That life can just tear at you sometimes. But God made you to live. He gave us this gift of life. And what's being said in these verses is not only to live, but while you're living, shine. Shine. Shine is a phrase that my dad taught me when I was growing up. A while back, he said to shine. Everything you do, shine. And what shine means is to share His incredible news everywhere. To share His incredible news everywhere. And some of you may be wondering right now, well, who is His? My dad told me this. It wasn't to go out and talk about my dad the rest of my life. Okay? When he said, share His incredible news everywhere, share Jesus' incredible news everywhere. If you grew up in church, it's the Sunday school answer. Share Jesus' incredible news everywhere. And some of us may be wondering, even with that, what is this incredible news? What is this incredible news? Hey, folks, guess what? I love simple. Simple as a Sunday school answer. Jesus is the incredible news. It's not only the fact that it is Him Himself, Jesus, that is the incredible news, but all that He has done. And we talked about it in Sunday school today. If you were down there with me, if you're up here, sorry you missed out, but you're going to get it right now. So we talked a little bit about it. You have to look at all of Scripture. See all that God has done since the beginning, and you start to see why it's such incredible news. So you ready for the incredible news? The incredible news is going to come at you really fast, all right? So buckle in this morning. Here it comes. Whole Bible in just a couple minutes. Okay? God created this perfect world. The land, the sea, the birds, the fish, the animals, the insects, the veggies, and the fruit. He saw that it was good. Then God created people, and He saw that it was very good. But there was one problem. In God's creation, there was a tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And those people had a choice. They could either trust God and His direction in their lives, or they can take hold of this fruit that held the knowledge of good and evil, so that they, instead of trusting God, could choose for themselves. The people chose to take the knowledge. Because of this, sin entered the world. With it, death, fear, pain, betrayal, perversion, and worst of all, separation. God had allowed people to make a choice because true love means that we choose to love. But we chose to abandon God. But God is always good. The whole world was falling apart because of this choice. People killed each other. People got into wars. People took advantage of other people. There was corruption everywhere. And at this point, you're wondering, where is the incredible news? We'll get there. In all of this corruption and all of this chaos, God chose a family. He told that family to follow Him and that they would be blessed and they would be a blessing to the world. Through this family, God would prepare a nation to be a vessel by which God would bring all people back into a place where they could choose to be with Him again. Well, this took a long time. There were ups and there were downs. God told this nation that He would direct them and He would protect them, but people still wanted to be people and people still wanted to rule. So people in this nation asked for a king. There were some good kings and there were a lot of bad kings. In fact, there were so many bad kings that eventually this nation wasn't a nation anymore, but it was instead a nation of captive people. This lasted for about 400 years. Yeah. But here enters the incredible news. Here enters the incredible news. Jesus came into this world. God brings forth a person, but this person isn't just a person. This person is also God. And this person who is also God lives a life telling people to follow Him. People start to follow Him, but people want to be people and people want to rule. So these people said to Jesus, "You should be our king." Jesus said, "No, that's not what's going to happen here." So people got mad. People wanted to corrupt and people wanted to kill again. So people who were mad got together with some other people who weren't following God as much as they wanted people to think that they were. And they decided to kill Jesus. And Jesus let them kill Him. But wait. I thought this was incredible news. This is incredible news. Because Jesus didn't stay dead. In fact, Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later. It was in fact sin that was actually still dead. And now anyone who follows Jesus and gives their lives to Him are able to live together with God. And that is the incredible news. The incredible news is Jesus. That Jesus took us from a point when we were broken, when we were separated, when we were corrupt, when we were away from everything good, everything that He had created. We were broken from that point, and the incredible news is that Jesus brought us back to that point. And now we don't have to live in the broken, we don't have to live in the separated, we don't have to live in the corrupt anymore, but now we can live with Jesus forever. And that is, in fact, incredible news, and it's such incredible news that we don't just share it in times in church. We don't just share it when we gather together on Sunday mornings. It's such incredible news that we have to share His incredible news everywhere. You may be asking, Corey, that took you a long time to say. And that's a lot to remember. It is a lot to remember. That's why I read it. The great thing is that we share this incredible news. We share the incredible news that Jesus came and He saved us from our bad choices and all of our mistakes, and that He solved the problem of separation. And we share it. We share it with others. And we share it with this phrase here. It's a phrase from a man named Saint Francis of Assisi. He said at one point, "Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words." Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. And church, that's what it means to shine. That every day, in every way that we live, and with everyone that we meet, all of our actions tell the story of change that Christ brought with Him. And we go out and we share His incredible news everywhere. So how does this look? As we get back to the book of Philippians, as we get back to that first chapter in the scripture that we read, how does this look? Paul is telling us in a couple ways, in a couple places, to shine. And we can see it here in verse 20 through 27. Paul has been prefacing this chapter with what he's been going through in his daily life. God comes at us in each and every day, right in our daily lives, right with where we are, right with how we're interacting. And Paul in his life is in a unique situation here. Paul is writing from chains. He's writing from a place of sadness, from a place of tears. That's where he's coming from. And he comes to this place and he says, "In the places where you fear, shine." Paul is a prisoner. Not for breaking laws, not for stealing, not for killing, not for tax evasion, not for disturbing the peace. He's in prison for shining. Paul is practicing what he now preaches to the church, in that he shared his incredible news everywhere. Wherever he went, whatever stood in his way, Paul was in the habit of knowing what Jesus had done in his life and what Jesus had brought him through. So he chose to share his incredible news everywhere. For Paul, that meant that he shared and he shone in some pretty incredible places. In some pretty scary places, really. And we hear that from an account in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27 says, "I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day at open seas. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, and in danger from Gentiles. In danger in the city, and in danger in the country. In danger at sea, and in danger with false believers. I have labored and toiled, and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger, I have known thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold, and I have been naked." Paul had a reason to fear. Paul had a reason to fear shining. Paul had a reason to fear the mission of sharing Christ's incredible news everywhere. All of this had come about because he was sharing what Christ had done in his life. So much had happened to him now. At this point, he was serving one of his sentences, He was serving one of the times when they had put him in prison for simply telling the world about Jesus and the great news that he had saved him. And now, at this point in his life, he begs Christ, and he writes that he will have the courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in his body, whether by life or by death. No matter what happens, no matter what life brings, he prays that God would give him the courage so that he can continue doing the very thing that has put him in prison for his life. He prays that he'll have courage to keep on going, to keep on shining. And this he writes, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul at this time was in the same place that many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are today. The same place as some in China, some in India, some in Thailand, some in the Middle East are today. Places of fear, knowing that the next time they speak the name of Christ, they will have the pleasure of meeting Christ once again, but it'll be face to face. And knowing that their lives are in danger, there's an appropriate fear to truly shine for Christ, but they continue with their lives to do it. They continue with their lives to say, you know, whatever may come my way, for me to live is Christ. If I keep on getting the opportunity to share his incredible news everywhere, that is an amazing opportunity. But if I die, it's all gain. I get to be with my Heavenly Father. And if they can say that, then what's my excuse? In the little areas of my life where I'm afraid, what's the reason for my fear? Why am I afraid? Is it because what I say may offend? Is it because what I say may be unpopular? Is it because what I say may step on some toes? If that is all that holds us back, then why do we not choose to shine with love instead of shining with fear? Let us shine with love in the areas where we may say, that's uncomfortable. Where we may say, you know what, that may be an unpopular spot to be in. Will we choose today in those areas to shine, to share his incredible news everywhere? It gets back to it in Philippians chapter 1. From the last half of verse 27 into verse 28, it says, "Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you." Paul calls us to shine even in the places where we fear, but also in our conduct. Paul calls us to shine. The first half of verse 27 that we just read says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." It was true back then, and it's true today, that talk doesn't mean much if you don't have the walk to back it up. So you can say you can believe anything, but does it actually take root? Does it actually affect the way that you interact with others, by the way that you make your choices, by the way that you choose to love? Does it affect you? Does it shine in your life, or is it just a dull flicker in the background? You heard me quote St. Francis earlier, to preach the gospel at all times and when necessary use words. Now let's listen to what God's word has to say in James chapter 2. It says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?" He brings a really practical illustration in here. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. We cannot allow the incredible news of Jesus Christ to just be information that goes in one ear and out the other. We must allow it instead to be a transformation in how we think, how we act, and how we live. How we take each and every step of our day mirroring the example that Christ gave us with His life. We live transformed by the incredible news that Christ gave. And in that transformed life, we shine. We choose to shine not only in the places that we fear, not only in our conduct, but He also calls us to shine for a specific reason. He calls us to shine for the sake of others. We are made to live and we are made to shine, to bring praise to God so that others can know. Paul says, "If I am to go on living in the body, it will mean fruitful labor to me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me." Paul knows that if it were his choice, it would be so much nicer to just go and to be with his heavenly Father. Where he's at in his life, he's probably chained feet away from a guard. And where he's at, the hope that he has is centered in one thing: getting to be with God forever. And he's torn by his situation, by where life has him right now. And he realizes that even in the darkest moment, even in that time of captivity and of pain, he knows that he has work to do. I don't know where you are today. You may be tired. You may be worn out. You may be stretched too thin, or life may be getting you down. There will come a day where we fall into the arms of Jesus, where we run into His loving arms and we just get to rest. But there is still work to do. In the times when you feel weak, in the times when you feel worn, lean on Jesus. Isaiah gives us this encouragement: "Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." When the next step is too hard to take, we put our next step with hope in the Lord. We keep on living to bring Him praise and to bring others the hope that we have. We shine with our lives because our lives are a mission for Christ. All this happens when we choose to live. When we know the great and wonderful hope that we have, that there will be a day when we see Jesus face to face once again. But in that time that we're given, will you choose today to say, "For me to live is Christ"? Folks, you were made to live. You were made to shine. Today, will you make the decision to share His incredible news everywhere? Shine in the places you fear. Shine in your conduct. Shine for the sake of others. God has you here for a reason. God created you. He formed you as His masterpiece for a reason. If you've not made the decision to put your hope in the Lord, if you've not committed to Him in baptism, and you feel that God's tugging at your heart today, maybe you're tired and you need strength that only He can give, I encourage you to come on forward. During this next song, you can talk to me, or you can find one of our elders and talk to them. But you were made to live with the hope that God brings. Let us go out and shine this week. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, in the places we fear, in the places we need You to step in and to shine out in our lives, Lord, we pray that You will make us Your willing servants. Lord, thank You for being the light of the world. Lord, we let that light shine in our lives, shine in our actions, shine in the things that we do. Lord, in the midst of everything that's going on in the world around us, we put our hope, we put our trust, and we put our peace in You. God, You are so good. We thank You for each and every person that's here today. We thank You for where You have them. Because You have them here for a reason. You have woven them together. You have given them life. You have made them to live for Your glory. So, Lord, let us bring You our praise. Let us bring You our worship. Let us bring You our lives. In our conduct, in our fear, and for others. Let us give it all to You, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.